let's talk a little bit first, since I have Beatrice and Benedict here, about that relationship and how you're portraying it in this production. And Barrett, would you start me off and remind everybody about the idea behind Savage Rose?
Well, the Savage Rose Classical Theater Company is really here to try to bring very good, vibrant classical theater to the region and especially to the city. What we really try to do is strive to bring the language of the classical plays to life. Now, of course, a lot of people think classical is just as Shakespeare, but of course it's not. We like to focus on the Jacobean, Elizabethan playwrights from around Shakespeare's period, but that, I mean, to me, classical theater goes all the way from the Greek theater all the way up to some of our, I mean, a lot of our modern playwrights. So we're not limiting ourselves, but right now we are concentrating on bringing to life the language of the Jacobean and Elizabethan theaters.
Mm-hmm. And of course, there's been a movement in Shakespeare, certainly since Branagh, to interject modern idioms and modern ways of looking at it as a shorthand for the audience. How is this production portraying Beatrice and Benedict's relationship, and how are you working to make that clear?
Well, not to contradict you, but I think that it's kind of a fallacy that the modern audience needs all of these anachronisms, and to bring them, that's been done since the 1600s. They would do it they would wear their own clothes to the theater, basically. They didn't always do them classical as we think.
Mm-hmm.
Every period did it in their style. Even Shakespeare, when they would do a Roman, they would wear Elizabethan clothes with a little toga over it.
Right.
So I think that there's kind of a misconception about bringing it to life for a modern-day audience. What we strive to do, as I was saying, is that, I mean, I personally like a classical feel to the plays, meaning from the time period in which they were produced.
Mm-hmm.
We're not stuck on that. It's not going to be, you know, that way all the time. But what is most important is that the language, inside the language, inside the text, are the relationships. It's the feelings. It's the emotions of the characters. That's all you have. You don't have a playwright, and a lot of modern playwrights. Eugene O'Neill wrote a page and a half just on the set and what it's supposed to look like. Well, in Shakespeare's lines, you have, oh, so this is the Forest of Arden.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, the audience has to imagine what the Forest of Arden is. You don't need to have a huge set. You do it on a bare stage, and it's all in the audience's imagination, which hopefully is more fertile than anything that can be thrown up, and, you know, a lot less expensive.
Yes.
I don't know if that helps.
Yes, it does. Absolutely. Virginia, let me talk to you for a minute. You're back in Louisville from your home in Los Angeles.
Yes.
You went to University of Louisville.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Good old U of L. We're not in the basement there anymore.
But tell me about your experience working with the Savage Rose Company.
I keep forks and I just jab Barrett. And that's what keeps our relationship going. Very authentic.
Yes.
Barrett does a fantastic job of keeping the humor up, and our director, John Tillotson, is fantastic in helping us find these wonderful moments. And I think that Barrett hit the nail on the head when he was saying that it's about what the language brings, and it's just been such a joy to work on this production because there are just so many phenomenal moments. Everybody's just doing such a fantastic job. It's hysterical. It's really one of the best pieces of theater I've had the privilege of working in.
Well, I mean, there's a reason that this has been such a popular play since 1590, whenever it was first staged. It has terrific language and wonderful characters, and Beatrice and Benedict, I think, are just two of the best characters Shakespeare ever created.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. She's very liberal, actually, for the time, I think.
You know, it's
it's
interesting. He explored that in a number of his plays. I mean, certainly Kate in Taming of the Shrew is a progressive female character.
Well, if you look at a lot of his characters, they're very, very progressive. And so, of course, who was queen at the time?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the most powerful woman in the world at the time was Queen Elizabeth. And so that was a pretty good little role model. But you have not only Kate in Taming of the Shrew, but you have Rosalind in As You Like It, probably one of the greatest female roles written. I'm unfortunately not able to get through Antony and Cleopatra, but I hear it's a great play for a woman, until, of course, she gets bit by a worm. But, you know, his female characters are absolutely wonderful. And the language in this play is really, really stunning. And I think it's John Tillotson, the director, has brought up several times that he is of the belief that this might be the actual lost play of Shakespeare's, which was called Love's Labour's Won, which was a sequel to Love's Labour's Lost. And it maybe got reworked and then named Much Ado About Nothing. And so things might have gotten changed.
Well, I just think that there's so many correlations in this play. It seems to me that Love's Labour's Lost is a kind of it's an exercise. Shakespeare does is get much more sophisticated in the way that he uses language. There's much less verse in this play, but he keeps that sparkling wit. And then you start to find correlations with other characters within the play. You find Don Pedro is very similar to Don Armato from Love's Labour's Lost. You find all of these correlative characters and the plot. The only thing that kind of keeps this from being Love's Labour's Lost is that we have a happy ending at the end. We have a whole lot of drama, a whole lot more drama in this than we do in Love's Labour's Lost. It's more sophisticated in the plotting, and but very similar things. These guys have come together to pursue kind of they end up pursuing women, which is what happens in both plays.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of women pursuing men in this, too.
That's so true.
Thank you, John, for
that's
making
true.
That possible.
That's true.
So how do you balance the relationship between Claudia and Hero and keep them from being so overshadowed by these wonderful Beatrice and Benedict
Well,
characters?
It's interesting because I think that contrary to what some people think, I think that the major plot line is Claudio and Hero, that getting them together is the total action of the play, that it's what starts the play and it's what pretty much finishes the play. So they're the driving force, the major through line of the play. What's interesting about them is they've got more stuff in verse. They've got more young love stuff. It's not as sophisticated in how Benedict and Beatrice barb at each other. But there is certainly a parallel in the relationship with Benedict and Beatrice, like the Claudio and Hero plotline.
Mm-hmm. John, tell me a little bit about yourself for people who haven't had the pleasure of your acquaintance.
Oh, and they're so unlucky. I actually live in New York City. I'm primarily an actor and have started to direct and write in the last couple of years. Barrett and I have known each other for 25 years, I believe it is. And we last worked together in about 1988. And
wow.
We've just been friends for such a long time. And this opportunity came up, and I was invited to come and work on this play, and I leapt at the chance.
So we have a bi-coastal production.
Yes, you do.
Yes, very much so. With a very, very, very strong company of actors from Louisville. What's interesting to me is somebody said to me the other day, well, you've kind of got three-quarters of your cast are the best actors in this town. So I thought, you know, oh, gosh. And then there's some people who are new that people don't know that are, you know, either new to Louisville or, you know, just young and mm-hmm. that we're starting to know who they are. So we've got a very adventurous cast, and I'm very pleased to come here with this group.
Now, you're working in the Walden Theater space, which is an old high school. Tell me about working in that particular arena and how you've decided to use it.
What's been really interesting is that as the production has evolved, I started out hoping that the play was going to be done in the round. And once we got into the space, I started to realize that it would not be best served that way. The whole set has evolved. I love the space because it's kind of rough around the edges. It allows for adventure and exploration as opposed to something very staid. And I think that that's the thing that I kind of like about that space. that we can move things around, we can put things where we want them to be, and it's been great. It's been great. And they've been wonderful to give us space.
Well, I could continue this conversation all day, but unfortunately, we have run out of time. And I want to thank John Tillotson, who is directing Much Ado About Nothing for Savage Rose Classical Theater Company. And, of course, Virginia Schneider, who's playing Beatrice, and our own Barrett Cooper, who's playing Benedict in this production. The Savage Rose Classical Theater Company production of Much Ado About Nothing by William Shakespeare runs January 27th through the 30th, as well as February 4th through the 6th. And if you'd like more information about that, you can call 599-3011, or you can go online at savagerosetheater.com.